Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom. Hope you had a lovely night's sleep in the beautiful heat that we're getting around midnight and early in the morning.
Well, I've had to close my window, unfortunately. So I'm in a baking hot room because there's a digger five, 6 metres away from the window. Our double glazing is very good. It's doing a very good job of keeping the digger noises out. But yeah, what that has led to is that the room I'm recording this in, Becca's office, not mine, Becca's office has become roasting hot. So I haven't yet started to sweat. But thankfully, this is a audio only podcast and not a visual one. So yeah, it's been lovely. But as we've kind of said, every single Brit, I think, is saying, yeah, this is too hot. This is just too hot. And when you look around the world at the way people are responding, it's only 32 degrees. Every other country that seems to be saying that has air conditioning everywhere, and we don't. So let us be angry about how hot it is. Let us be upset. And it wasn't pleasant playing football. It wasn't pleasant playing football in the heat for the whole weekend.
How many matches did you play, Tom, over the weekend?
Eight 40-minute games.
Eight 40-minute games in the sweltering heat.
So,
goodness me.
And one of the games, one of the guys from our church had wore his activity watch the whole time, and he said that one of the games was 47 minutes long because the ref obviously had forgotten his watch and was making it up as he went. Because we all were a bit more tired after that game than normal, and he'd started the timer at the start, and he said, we've just played for 47 minutes on that game. So, yeah, there wasn't, like, stoppage time for injuries or anything either. It was
well
just
done.
Very hot.
Well done. And well done to all of the team.
Well, I'll also say that there were only two people all weekend who played every minute of every game. That was myself and our goalkeeper. Now, our goalkeeper did win the goalie of the tournament, which was very, very good to see.
Brilliant.
So that was that. If a goalie wins goalie of the tournament, but we didn't do very well, I think it tells you how many shots he saved and how many goals he stopped us from conceding. We had a good weekend. We won a couple of games, we drew a couple of games, and we lost four. So we won two, drew two, lost four. So we weren't the worst team at the tournament, but we didn't finish in the top half of the table, let's say, with a performance.
But
like
a good
that.
Time had by all, I'm sure, even if it was hot. And a few injuries, I guess, as well.
Yes, a couple of injuries, and we pray for a quick recovery. But yeah, it was a lovely time. I ended up playing centre-back for the whole weekend, which I wasn't expecting. But even from centre-back, I still managed to be our second highest goal scorer. So got to be something going right there, eh?
Well, Tom, we're very impressed, even as you speak, of your prowess on the football pitch. So
I don't think it's prowess. I think I resemble a less elegant animal when I'm on the pitch than an animal that normally prowesses. And a special thanks to Simon Bennett, who organised the whole thing for us. He was our team's top scorer. I think he scored four, maybe five in the end. We're all very thankful for his organisation and for getting us there, because it wasn't the easiest thing to organise. And for the people who run it, Ambassadors Football, I'm sure it would have been a logistical challenge for them to have made it happen. The police turned up on the Sunday to check protocols were being followed and everything like that. So it clearly was a tournament that had a lot of red tape surrounding it. But when we were there, when we were playing, we had a wonderful time. And it was great to be with hundreds of other people who all were there for the same reasons, play football and to be a part of a Christian tournament. So, really positive all-round experience.
Well, well done, and thanks to everybody for representing Newcastle Baptist Church at that tournament. So well done, and I guess another chance next year, wherever
always
it will
next
be.
Year.
There's always next year. But thank you for doing that. Well, while you were away kicking a football, some of us were on the car park at NBC on Sunday morning in the sweltering heat.
It looked very hot.
I hadn't really appreciated until Sunday that there is very little shade on the car park at 10:30 in the morning in July.
And the shade only disappears as time goes on.
Yes. So It was quite warm. Mm-hmm. I forgot to put factor 50 on, I have to say, on my head. Mm-hmm. But I just about survived, I think, by ducking into the shade for the singing. But, yeah, it was lovely, actually. Lovely to see everybody there. We had umbrellas up on Sunday in the car park.
Wow.
So it was like but sun umbrellas. And then lots of people sat in the very tiny slither of shade right by the building because that was all there was at 10:30. But well done to all of you. I know some people it was didn't come because it was too hot, which is the first time probably you've used that excuse for church in your life, that it's too hot to come to church. But well done for using it, and yes, you had every right to use it, of course.
Well, if we'd been indoors, then all the windows would have been opened, and what more windows opened could you have than being outdoors?
There was nothing to move the breeze, but anyway, it was lovely to catch up with a few people and see some people for the first time in a very, very long time, and it's just such a joy to see everybody chatting together. I end up on Sunday not having anybody to talk to because everybody's talking to everyone else. It's wonderful. It's really lovely to see.
And, so this Sunday, please make sure you do chat to Tim. He gets very, very lonely on a Sunday morning. And,
well, I had one beautiful conversation. I won't say who it was with. And somebody came to me and said they were having real trouble praying. Which is it's like, it's just beautiful that you should ask that question, isn't it? Such a lovely thing to ask, you know. And
sounds like they need to listen to the three podcasts we did on prayer a few weeks ago.
But it was such a lovely request. And I was able to, I hope I was able just to help a little bit in terms of how to pray, really, because it is simple, but that isn't the answer, is it? When somebody comes and says, I'm struggling to pray, I don't think the answer is, well, it's really simple, isn't it? Well, obviously it's not simple, otherwise they wouldn't have had that problem. So for them, you know, and I think it's just trying to find ways. And I hope that in the conversation I maybe provided a little bit of some ideas anyway to help pray. Mm. And I suggested they maybe read other people's prayers as a way to get started. And then I suggested maybe writing down prayers as well, which I've always found really helpful in my life, I have to say, when I found it difficult to pray. And I think it was just such a beautiful question to ask. It was a childlike question, wasn't it? And it was asked by a child, funnily enough. But it was a lovely opportunity just to just to share some thoughts together. And I hope it helped to get started. It was interesting because I thought I'd used a really smart illustration to help her, you see. Because I thought it's a bit like riding a bike, isn't it? You know, certainly when I rode a bike anyway, you had stabilizers on, and then you took one of the stabilizers off, and then your dad ran behind you holding the saddle, and then eventually you did it on your own and off you went. And I used this illustration. I said, you know what, it's a bit like riding a bike, you know, because sometimes it's not very easy to start riding a bike. And this person said to me, oh, it was really easy riding a bike. I did it first time. So my illustration fell flat on its face, but never mind. I persevered, and it was just lovely to have a conversation like that. And it's a good reminder just that prayer is simple. I know we've chatted a little bit about that over the time. But Sunday, yeah. So we carried on with our series of Summer of Love, and we were in week three. We talked on week one a little bit about what God's love looked like. Yeah, this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus. So God's love seen in Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about perfect love casting out all fear. But this week, it was about love one another. And still in that 1 John chapter 4 passage, which is incredible, really. I just, as I've sort of prepared, that little book, that little letter, 1 John, it's full of incredible helpful advice.
And you totally understand how some preachers have the ability to preach on a single verse per week.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just rammed.
Every single verse in, especially this passage we're on, 1 John 4, is full of life and full of just really practical help for us.
Practical, absolutely simple. I think you said last week it's simple, and it is simple, really. And I was just reflecting on, a week past Sunday, it was the Euro 2020 final, and then the Monday, obviously, all this hatred sort of poured out of people's mouths, or some people's mouths, and how, John continues, says, love one another, you know, he says, you can't, you can't love God and hate somebody else. You know, it's impossible. You know, if you love God, then love your brother and sister. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't hate. You know, and it's a tough call, of course. But most of the Bible is a tough call. It is pulling us upwards. But it was thinking about how can we show love to one another, and I wanted it just to be a bit broader than just the people who we get on with, you know, but people who perhaps we don't, or people at work, or you know, our neighbours or something. And I just gave four very simple points really. And the first one was attract people that don't repel them, you know, and how it's important for us to move towards people. And I think when John was writing this letter, you know, he was obviously in the upper room when Jesus washed his feet. Mm. And I could not help thinking that John must have, you know, been so bowled over by that moment, really. You know, and this sense that Jesus moved towards him, you know, even though, you know, Jesus knew that he was going to run away from him at some point, that Jesus knew that, you know, John's feet were stinky and smelly from all the walking. But Jesus got up from the table. I love that little phrase, Jesus got up. You know, he made the first move, and how important it is for us to make that move towards people, you know, not to stay apart from them. So attract people, don't repel them. And Jesus was, you know, clearly one of the most attractive people the world has ever known. You know, people flocked to him. From all walks of life, from all backgrounds, people just flocked in. They couldn't help but get close to him, you know.
And that can put us in difficult situations, can't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So much of Jesus' teaching is countercultural, and his instruction to us is countercultural. But I suppose this idea of loving everyone and making sure you don't block yourself off from somebody out of your first reaction is something that is very difficult to do a lot of the time. And I know as we kind of are coming out of this the stricter lockdowns that we've had through COVID, there is a real funny feeling in the air about people who are wearing masks and people who aren't, and all this kind of thing. And I understand the importance of safety for people, but the way that you put yourself out there does have an immediate effect on people. The attraction and repulsion that comes is very clear. And I mean, I'm thinking back to a time at university when there was a mission that came on site by another religion. They were missionaries who'd come over from America. There were a couple of elders from the Mormon Church. And there was a really difficult thing where there was almost that thought of, do we, as the Christian Union, do we engage with them? Do we push them away? And it was a very simple decision. They, if we see them as being human beings that are loved by God and that are in need of salvation, then it's our duty to go and love them and be with them and engage in conversation. And I've spoken to many different people in our church who have talked about their experiences of chatting with people who they disagree with. And yes, there's occasions when people just disagree completely, but actually so much a better response often is to just try and love them and try and find ways of, as you were saying, Tim, almost being attractive in terms of the way that you act and respond. So yeah, I think that is a really helpful, and the example of Jesus obviously such a powerful one.
The second point was to build bigger tables. You can see where I'm going through the alphabet here. and actually that sense that, you know, to make room for people, really, I suppose, and to always make sure there's room. I'm sure there's many people, and I said this on Sunday, really, of, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, my mum and dad always made sure there was room around the table, the literal table, for anybody to come home and have a meal on Sunday, particularly on Sundays, actually, after church. Whoever was new or whoever was on their own, there would always be somebody else around our dinner table. Full roast dinner, of course, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever the temperature was, of course, before you had to rush out again at 2 o'clock for the next meeting. But somehow, by miracle, but there was always room. And I think that sense of building bigger tables, and Jesus always made room for people. It's beautiful, isn't it, that Jesus sort of carried a badge of honour. You know, people called him a drunkard and a glutton, didn't they? And he said himself, the Son of Man's come eating and drinking. You know, and it's just such a lovely phrase to have. And of course, you've only got a glimpse through the Gospels to see how many times Jesus is found at a table eating food with other people. And so there's, you know, definitely food gathers around. But, you know, we live in a culture now where food and coffee shops and everything are all over the place now, aren't they? And so there's there's always a table that you can go and sit down at. Don't just impose yourself on somebody who's just looking as if they're lonely, but there's always a table for you to invite somebody out for a coffee or a park bench or something. And I did mention that Jesus was a carpenter and not a bricklayer, so he built tables, not walls, and so important for us to do that. So that was B. Then C was cheer other people on, and I'm sure you would have loved a few supporters at Harper Adams at the weekend, Tom.
Oh, did
you have some supporters?
There were a few that came over, which
Excellent.
Was lovely to see.
What a difference it makes, doesn't it?
Yes.
To have people cheering you on.
Yeah.
And how simple it is as well, do you know? And how simple it is to just cheer somebody on, you know? And, you know, when you know, if you have a conversation with someone, you know, and they're going through something or they're facing a new challenge or they've just succeeded at something, you know, just cheer them on. You know, I think it's amazing. You know, it's a really easy thing to do, really, just cheer somebody on. And then I was going to go ABC, but then I put a D in, which was to deposit life in somebody.
Mm.
And this has always been in my mind for so many years, of the need for us to bring life to people with the words that we speak to them. You know, people get knocked down all over the place, don't they? I mean, you know, so people at work, you know, I have been in the workplace, you know, before becoming a minister full-time, paid. I was in the workplace for 5 years, you know, and it's hard. It's a hard place to be, you know, whatever job you do. People are always looking for the extra bit, or they want to tell you what you didn't do or what you should have done or that you missed this. You know, and it's very rare that you get the plaudits, really. So I think depositing the life in people is so important, you know, and particularly in kids. You know, I think kids need a lot of life deposited, not just from their parents. I think, you know, sometimes especially not from their parents, but from other people. And that's the beautiful thing that we can do at church across the generations, is to deposit life in people, because that's what Jesus came to bring. He came to bring life in all its fullness. There was just coined this corny phrase, you know, if you want to live like Jesus lived, we've got to love like Jesus loved. And it's a real challenge for us as we seek to love one another, not only during this summer, but, you know, as a lifestyle, as a real Jesus lifestyle moving forward as well. So that was it, really. I think it took me about 20 minutes to say what I've just said in 4 minutes. But hey, you know what? It's Wednesday, not Sunday. But so attract. Don't repel, build bigger tables, cheer people on, deposit life. And maybe by doing that, we'll have a chance of loving one another, loving other people as we move through. And I think particularly as the COVID thing changes a little bit, but obviously with some fears around the edges still, a good time for us to be putting those things into practice and for being obedient to what Jesus' new command was. The new command to love one another as I have loved you. So that was it, Tom, in a nutshell.
So do I have to go back and listen to the service now, given I wasn't there?
No,
I've heard
it all.
You've
heard it now.
Amazing.
You've heard it all now. You're forgiven for not listening.
It is a great thing to think about. And actually what you're saying about, you know, the thing of loving young people and kids are so, so important right now. Because they've been messed around so much, and so much of what they have been kind of told to do is perform at a high level, and that's your worth, that's your value. And actually we need to be there to say to them that, you know, your life isn't defined by
Absolutely.
Your grades, your worth isn't defined by your grades. It's not an uncommon thing to hear of the richest people in the world being the ones who dropped out of school. And I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that if you drop out of school that's what will happen, but I think if anyone should be able to explain what your value is, it should be us as Christians. And we should say that every single person is of infinite value to God. God created you as a being who knows what love is because he loved us. And we should be able to love other people infinitely because of the infinite love that we have been shown. Absolutely. Let's do that. Let's love
and say
one
it,
another.
Say it to a child in front of their parents as well.
Do you know how much God? Parents. Do you know how much God loves you?
Yeah. And if they put
their hands out as wide as they can go, then you say, well, God loves you even more than that.
Absolutely.
So
that's a good challenge for us to speak those sorts of words into each other's lives. And we need it. We need it more than ever now. And if you want to hear this again, then please hear it. Jesus loves you and you are special. And he has so much to give you and so much to do in you as well. And he wants to use you to be someone who shows love to others as well. So, yeah, let's go and do it.
We should pray and then we will share a bit of what's coming up over the next few days. But before then, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a loving and gracious God, and we thank you for everything you've poured out on us, your forgiveness and the gift of new life in you. We thank you that your love is perfect, that it never fails, that it goes on and on forever and ever, and we pray that you'll help us to understand that. Help us to know that there isn't anything that will separate us from your love. And help us to live that out in what we do and say to others. And we pray, Lord, that we will be beacons of love in the world around us. We ask that you will fill up our lives to the point of overflowing with the power of your love so that we can make a difference in the world around us. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to put other people first. Help us to show love like you showed to people all through the Bible. And we pray that you'll help us to come back to the examples that we see, that we read about when we encounter difficult situations. Fill us up, Lord, with your Spirit so that we can love one another in a way that is better than we already do. We acknowledge that we need you, God, and we pray that you'll pour out your blessing on each and every one of us as we go about our weeks now. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Whew, time for an ice cream.
Time for an ice cream. We'll talk about ice creams next week, Tim. Not this week.
Yeah.
But this Sunday, of course, generally British weather dictates that if we have a few days of boiling hot heat, it's followed up with thunderstorms. Do please check your emails to read all about our response to the changes in the way that restrictions are placed on us as we enter into this next season of church life. We highly suspect that we will be indoors, and with that comes a few ways that we're trying to help keep everybody safe as we return back to indoor church. We're looking forward to being able to sing, although we would ask that you still continue to bring masks with you, and to find out all of the other things that are going on. Do please check your emails. All the information has been sent out there. If you don't receive our emails and you'd like to, Tim, where can they email to get added to our list?
I feel as if we need to have a tune to go with this, don't we? But
for well, the I'll, moment, let, you, I'll enquiry, let you make it up.
Enquiry, E-N-Q-U-I-R-Y, at newcastlebaptist.org.uk.
And if you want to contact us about anything else, then that's the place to go to as well. Our kids' work is continuing online through the summer months. We're aiming to be back in September, and we're very much looking forward to that. So do check us out on YouTube if you have younger children. This week, Bear Grylls joined the Cheeky Pandas, who joined us for the session, which was all on prayer. After we were talking about prayer earlier, it was all about prayer and the encouragement that prayer is to Bear Grylls and how it's sustained him through many years. I think that's everything. I think that's all of the immediate notices.
Yeah.
have a wonderful week. Enjoy the rest of the beautiful weather. Go out and enjoy God's world. Enjoy creation. And think about what was talked about at the weekend and what we've shared today. And maybe ask God, Lord, how can I love? Just pick one other person better. And then go out and do it. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.